Let's go verse 1 here. Chapter 19, verse 1. It says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we didn't even know there was a such thing as the Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then have you been baptized? And he said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And they heard this and were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12 years old, right? No, there's 12 of them there. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for about a space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, we've taught on that, his first location, this is the last time we see him go into a synagogue, as far as I've been able to ascertain. And he went in there for 3 months and began just teaching on the kingdom of God. In other words, see, the kingdom of God is the Old Testament revealed, if you can understand it that way. All the pictures that the Jewish people would have discussed weekly and year after year in their synagogue were being revealed by Paul into what the kingdom of God was like. So that's what he was doing for 3 months. He just went in there. But something happened after 3 months. Verse 9. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them, separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued for the space of 2 years, so that all that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Greek and Jews and Greek. Now, go ahead and go verse 9. Let's do it out of the New Living Translation. I'll bring it out again here in a second. Well, let me just stop. Don't go there yet. I want to deal with something here before we get there, because I want to get done with verse 9 at least. But it says that when he left the synagogue, he went to the school of Tyrannus or Tyrannus. I don't know. And honestly, that's not a name that we use very much. This is the only time in Scripture that his name is used, that this name is used. We don't know much about him. All we know is that he had a school. And basically what it was an outdoor lecturing hall that he had created for school. We don't know what he taught. We don't know what subjects were being taught there as far as, you know, most of what you read. Very little known for him. But he had an outdoor, lecturing hall that he used. Now here's in Ephesus, what they would do is in the morning hours, it was cool. It was nice. It was breezy. The sun hadn't reached its peak yet. And so they'd all go and they'd go to work. They would do all that kind of stuff. And they'd go to school. If they were taking classes or whatever, they'd learn. And then about in the afternoon, when the sun was straight up and the heat was starting to come down, it was too unbearable. And so they would stop all that kind of stuff and go to the houses and take a siesta or a nap or just chill, have lunch, prolonged lunch, and wait until the heat of the afternoon was going down, and then go finish whatever they had to finish. That was their custom. That's how they operated. So notice here it says most theologians say is that when he went and he went to the school of Tyrannus, I'm not going to use the map at all, so we don't have to go there. When he went there, what he was doing is in the mornings, a lot of people think that he worked as a tent builder during the morning times. I'm not saying he does or he doesn't. It doesn't really say anything. It doesn't back it up. Their thought pattern is he had to make money somewhere. It's possible. But in the afternoons, when all the classes were let out, when the people were getting ready to go home for their siestas or naps, he would go there and take over the study in the heat. And for about 2.5 to 3 hours, he would teach them on the kingdom of God. Now, I thought about that, and I thought, you know, in here tonight, I know some of y'all are hot. You know, you never look at me when I'm leading worship on whether it's hot in here or not, because I'm going to sweat. I'm just going to sweat. I move, therefore I sweat. Some of you are warm in here tonight, and some of you looked at me like I was crazy because you're going, it ain't warm in here, Pastor Thad. There's a chill in the air, and I can feel it. It's kind of chilly in here. And some people, obviously none of you here tonight, would say, that church, they keep it a little too cold for me to go there and participate. Or in the summer, it's a little too warm in there for me to do that. And here they're going, listen, the only time we have in order to meet in a place that we can all get and hear the Word of God taught is in the middle of the afternoon when the sun's the hottest and we're sweating horrible and we're going to go there, but we're going to hear the Word, we're going to hear the Kingdom of God taught. And they said, that's the only time we can do it, so that's what I'm going to do. And I want the simplicity of that, and I want to throw this in here before we get into this next part. The simplicity of that is simply, beloved, how eager are you to hear the Word? Pastor Lisa and I were talking the other day. We were just chit-chatting about, we brought up Pastor Mike's message from for the new year about all of the all the excuses and all the people that went out there. Matter of fact, I listened to a message by, I thought it was Bill Johnson, but I think it may have been Mario Morella, where he taught one where he was talking about all the excuses that people have for why they don't want to get in church, why they don't want to go after the Kingdom of God and all that kind of stuff. And beloved, one of the things that's going on to me all day long, and I thought about texting it to everybody, but I don't want anybody to feel like I'm attacking anybody. It's just that, is that in order to operate in the Kingdom of God, in order to operate at a higher level of the Kingdom of God, there's got to be a rhythm. You know, that's one of the interesting things about, you know, the drummers in the old battles. Just, they would march in the rhythm. They would move in the rhythm of the drums. You know, they'd move in that rhythm and it would keep them in step. It would keep them moving together. And beloved, so often the enemy loves to try to get us off rhythm. We all know what, you know, we stand up here and we play all these instruments. We play all these instruments. I play these instruments, these vocal cords. We up there, play all these instruments, and as much as hitting the right chords are important, we could hit the right chords until we're blue in the face. But if we're out of rhythm, there's not a person in here that could just flow in the song. We'd be fighting it. We'd be going, we haven't had to do it a long time, but I remember sometimes where we'd sit there and we'd start a song and we'd be kind of like, dun, 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 and we'd be going, fighting the rhythm and just trying to get it, and finally we'd like, stop. One, two, three. You know, then we get, oh, we found the rhythm and it made the difference. There's a lot of people who are trying to operate in life without the rhythm of, how can I word it? Without the rhythm of being, I'll say it like, without the rhythm of being in church. Without honoring the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, without being, you know, and it can, again, we have a lot of reasons why we might be out of rhythm. And I'm not chastising any of those reasons. There's a lot of reasons that to keep you out of rhythm. Are you all feeling me? In other words, there's a lot of times that people start coming to church and they may just come one service. And we're like, they should come every service. And they should, but they're out of rhythm. They're not in the rhythm of coming all the time. You know, I was watching Anna Lee clap during that first song. And she did a pretty decent job. But, you know, when you're that young and you haven't done it a lot, sometimes you're not as, you know, coordinated to hit every note. You have to work on it a little bit. And so, listen. By now, John, how long have you played the drums? 40 years? Okay, 40 plus years, somewhere in that area. He's played the drums. If he was still sitting over there, struggling to keep tempo, and struggling to keep the rhythm, and all of us up here are hitting the right chords, but he's over there going, there'd be a problem, would there not? Of him doing something for 40 years and still not having the master of keeping the rhythm. I just want to talk a little bit about this and challenge us to make sure that we are that hearing the word of God is this important to us. That if we didn't have heat, you know Pastor Thad well enough to know we'd meet in a small room back there with a bunch of chairs and have the heat, have a portable heat, you know, something like that, because I love you guys that much to do that. But if we hadn't have heat and it was freezing in here, we just had to sit here under blankets and stay warm, would we be willing to come? If it was in the middle of the summer and we had nothing, all we had to do was open some doors and try to get some fans, and Pastor Thad's up here drenched and you're out there drenched, and would it still be worth coming? Because beloved, we, in order to get where we need to go, in order to do what God's called us to do, we cannot be out of rhythm. We cannot just be sporadic in our drum beats. Are you with me here? We've got to be in a rhythm of church, a rhythm of prayer, a rhythm of praise, a rhythm of love, a rhythm of the things that we do. That when we're out of rhythm, we know it. Man, this is I can't keep going down this, because I told you 5 words into it and I knew where I was going, and this is not where I was going. But if we've got to have that rhythm so that we can achieve and accomplish that which God has called us to accomplish. Are you with me here? Hallelujah. But that's what the heat of the day was, uncomfortable, hot, and they still came because they were hungry for the word. Now, the reason they went to the school here in the first place, and Paul went, is that there was a group of Jewish people in the synagogue who became stubborn and began acting and speaking out against Paul. If you go back there to verse 9, it says, but when divers were hardened, and believed not, but spoke evil of the way before the multitudes. So in other words, they weren't just... they weren't just like, we don't like this, and they just sat there like this. They began verbally telling everybody, it's dumb, and the way is the way to heaven. Jesus is the way, truth, and life. They spoke evil of it. And so they were very vocal about it. I think it's very important to understand, and I don't know if I have my notes here, but hardened hearts come through a lot in complaining. And we're going to talk about this here, not about that, but I want to point that out. And if I ask anybody, if I say, there was something I said at the beginning of this, what did I say at the beginning of this? Just remember, hardened hearts come through with the voice of complaining, right there, what they did. But I read that, and again, go to the New Living Translation there in verse 9. Now again, Paul didn't argue with them more. He said, okay. You can have your synagogue back. I'll go elsewhere and I'll do it. He moved on. But notice in the New Living Translation, it says, some people became stubborn, rejecting his message and publicly speaking against the way. Some people just decided to become stubborn. And that is where the Holy Spirit, I read that and I was like, I can't move on past that. I've got, there's several things that coming up here, and we got the seven sons of Sceva coming up here, and the revival in Ephesus coming up here, and all this stuff is really exciting. But see, you cannot move on into the things of God with a stubborn heart. Or with a hard heart. I started thinking when I first started writing down, I just start writing down notes, you know, and I etch all this stuff in here. And the first thing I thought of was my message out of Joshua chapter 1, where it says, be strong and of good courage, three different times. And if you look at that word, really that word, be strong and of good courage, means to be hard-headed and obstinate. It literally means be stubborn. But that has nothing to do with towards God. It means be stubborn with what God's told you can have. Be stubborn with the Word. Don't let the enemy steal it. Don't let the people around you steal it. Be stubborn with the Word. Be stubborn with the inheritance, with the promises. Be stubborn to not let fear in. Be hard-headed and obstinate about those things. But beloved, when it comes to receiving what the Word of God is saying to us, beloved, one of the worst things that you can have happen, one of the worst things you can do in your life is to be stubborn. Now again, I'm not talking about, because we all have levels of stubbornness. I'm going to bring that home by talking about my wife. I'm just kidding. I'm not that bold. We all have levels of stubbornness, things that we're stubborn over. Pastor Elise is a food snob on a lot of things. And I'll sit there and say, relax. Nope. We've tried to get her for years to watch a movie that is one of our family favorites. And we've begged her. Just watch it for us. You'd think that a Covenant would watch it for Covenant's sake, but there's an actor she didn't like. We even gave her the DVD so she wouldn't have to invest any money or effort into it, and it just sat in her house, and we're like, can we just have the DVD back then? So that's again, I'm not saying, does that matter? I don't think it matters in life. So there's levels of stubbornness that we have, but the one thing that we just absolutely cannot afford to be stubborn over is receiving the Word of God and receiving the voice of God. If He speaks to us, we've got to have a pliable, a soft heart to receive. Beloved, we've got to guard ourselves in regards to having a stubborn, hard heart. Go over to Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. So many little things that the Holy Spirit was revealing to me, and I want to do my best at getting them all out. Verse 5. Let's start with verse 5. We know chapter 8. I listened to a sermon from, I just said this many, I don't know how many times I've said it, from Bill Johnson, and he was just going through Romans 8. And he does things different than I when he goes through he takes a chunk of it and kind of, instead of word by word or moment by moment, he actually gets through 12 verses. But he went through this, and he was like, chapter 7, Paul is talking about when he was not born again. Chapter 8, he's talking about when he was born again. It's like, you heard my sermons. Verse 5, it says, for they that are after the flesh. Now again, let's understand this as this, if we can get this. Our flesh part of us is operating based on what we can see, based on what we can feel. And so when it says the flesh part of us, for it's not, and again, it's not a bad thing to understand this at all times. It's really saying that I'm making my decisions based on me. I'm living my own truth. Sunday morning, we need to figure out how to get online so we can have the, you know, put it on Facebook online, because I'd have liked to have had Pastor Lisa playing, but I settled for Stephen Furtick while we were traveling. But he was talking about that. He's like that phrase that I live my truth. I live my own truth. I got to be faithful to my own truth. And he goes, truth is not a thing you choose. Truth is truth. And you've got to live the truth, not your truth. And that's kind of how it is that the flesh says, I'm going to live my truth. The Spirit says, I'm going to live the truth. And so when it says here, for they that are after the flesh, is literally what it's telling us is those that are after holding their ground and doing things their own way, their fleshly way, versus yielding themselves to the Spirit of God and let the Spirit of God dictate how they operate. And so it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are, after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Are you seeing what I'm talking about here? You have the right in life to be stubborn. You have the right to hold on to your opinions and your ground and your thoughts and your ways and say, no, I think I'm right on that. You have a right to do that. Because that's the really cool thing with what God did with us. See, the second an angel decides, I'm going to do things my own way, he's not a heavenly angel anymore. He stops being who he was. We have this gigantic part of us, this ability that God gave us to choose what we do. And just because you choose wrong, it doesn't mean you die, you cease existing, you're gone. Because God gave us, we have that ability to choose to do right again, to turn it around. Again, angels don't have that. They choose one time to not do what God wants, and they're falling like lightning. So, but we have this huge thing that says we can choose how we want to live. We can choose what we want to do. You can choose to be stubborn, or you can choose to be yielded. But you have to deal with the consequences. And it says to be fleshly, stubborn minded is death. And again, we know it's not, you don't cease to be, you cease to receive, you cease to grow, you cease to experience the blessings of God. But to be spiritually minded or yielded to God's system, His word, His Spirit, and His men, women of God, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Shalom, Irene. Nothing missing, nothing broken. My life is complete. Because the carnal mind is separation from God. The carnal mind is separation from God. Let's just pause that there. We're going to go right back to 7, so hold your place. But go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. And again, some of y'all going, Pastor Thad, I think you're taking too many liberties with this. I'm not, and this is one that's going to explain it to us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 says this. Talking about the Gentiles, those that are separated from God, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The New Living Translation says, closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. So they have alienated themselves from the life of God because they're stubborn-hearted, they're hard-hearted, and they're not pliable in the Master's hands. That's the Gentiles. Beloved, I want you to understand this. That is not describing a child of God. That is describing those that are separated from God. The mark of a child of God should not be stubbornness towards what the truth is. Hallelujah. You said, Pastor Thad, I love the Word. I love coming to church, and I love to hear what you have to say. But do you do it? And I ain't trying to step on anybody's toes. If anybody thinks Pastor Thad's targeting them, I'm not. I'm targeting my wife, you know. I'm just kidding. I'm not targeting anybody. This just rose up inside of me, and I was like, beloved, we need to watch our hearts. We need to guard our hearts, Proverbs chapter 4, like our lives depend on it. Because a stubborn heart, and see, you go, well, it's a stubborn heart. We'll look at it in here a little bit. But a stubborn heart's just one that says, I like my way better. Let's just get out of here. I'm already out of here. You're already mad at me. I know the Bible says to tithe, but I can't tithe. All right. You know the right thing to do is to tithe, but you're going to say, I can't do it. Is that being yielded or being stubborn? I'm not being stubborn. I just have to have money to live. Well, they alienated themselves from the life of God. The life of God. You can choose one of two ways. Just to live your life day after day, operating and just existing. Or you can operate inside the life of God. And the difference between one and the other is yielded versus stubborn. Saying, God, I accept your word. I maybe can't afford to tithe. I know what we say with this, but to be completely honest, there were many, 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 and I did not include enough minis to get as many times as there was that Jesse and I could not afford to tithe. A tenth of my income, and that was about what it was because she wasn't working at the time, a tenth of my income would have bought us a lot of groceries back in the early 90s or the late 90s. Because it's the same income I have today, so that's how I know. It would have bought me a lot of groceries for our two babies. And to sit there and say, oh, but you're a pastor and you're super weak. I'm going to say it like this because I want you to understand it. We couldn't afford to tithe. And I've gone through the gamut of my testimony on tithing. And I always say, that's one of the things I say. God worked me over so hard at getting me to understand the power of tithe. And if you're here to say it doesn't matter, I'm really ticked off at him. Because he worked me over to get me to tithe, and now you're going, no, it doesn't matter to me. No, see, here's the thing, is that there was a time where I said, okay, I've been stubborn too long. And when I was stubborn, all I kept getting was more mess. And when I finally yielded, it didn't mean all of a sudden everything was like sunshines and unicorns and peaches and all that kind of stuff. It didn't mean everything shifted overnight, but I shifted into a different rotation. I shifted into a different pattern. The second I yielded, instead of being stubborn and saying, I can't afford to tithe, I still couldn't afford to tithe, but I changed my situation. I changed it through yielding myself to it. I began obeying him. And God, we always took it. Our kids, do either of our kids look like they went hungry? And I'm not saying that mean. Do I look like I went hungry? It wasn't a fat joke, Allison. They're big, strong, healthy kids, is what I'm saying. But Pastor Jessica got a job and she's working. And they eat more. And they got cars and phones. And their clothes are more expensive and their shoes are more expensive. But all along, God kept taking care of us. And that's the thing. First thing I do because I know the importance of being yielded instead of stubborn. Listen to me. Listen. I want us to get a hold of this so bad. Don't try to spiritualize your disobedience. Don't try to say, but this is different, Pastor Thad. This is don't try to do that because all that's doing is it's feeding the lie. It's feeding your stubbornness. Whew, I don't even have the ability. I was listening to a sermon today. I won't tell you who was preaching it. But he was talking about whatever lie you give focus to, the enemy will verify that lie over and over again. He just was using the example of if you're really mad at somebody and you got bitterness in your heart towards that person, you're not going to hear 25 people try to talk you out of it and say, oh, they're wonderful. You're going to hear 25 people go, oh, let me tell you a story. And so when you are in a place of stubbornness, you're going to keep getting from the enemy the reasons why your argument stands. You're going to go on Google. You're going to go on Facebook. And you're going to stumble across somebody explaining why the tithe isn't spiritual. Listen. I don't ever want anybody in this room, and I wish I had everybody in our church in this room for this. I don't want anybody in this room to ever tithe for fear of the curse. Because the blessings of God are so amazing. The blessings of God are so rich. That fear of nothing should promote you to do something. It should be the love of God and what He's done for us that says, I want to be a part of all that He is. I want to yield myself to His words and what He says. But I want you to clearly understand that if you are a carnal mind, if you are a stubborn mind, go back there to 8:7, Romans 8:7. You are separated, alienated from God. You cannot sit under His divine blessing. Can't. Maybe. And I'm going to say it like that. You might be able to make it to heaven. I received Him. I accepted Him. But I'm just not going to obey Him along the ways. You might make it to heaven. I'm not. Don't quote Pastor Thad on that. I want that to be as wishy-washy as I can. But you will not live under His blessings. Because the carnal mind, a mind that is stubborn, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh, in the stubbornness, I'm going to do what I see, what I feel, my own truth, cannot please God. Beloved, God, all He wants to do is work in us to bring us to life and peace and health and strength and increase in our destiny. And He's constantly talking to us and constantly speaking to us. But the second you develop a hard heart, you don't hear His voice the same. Hebrews tells us, and go to Hebrews 3. You don't hear his voice. You alienate yourself from him. I thought about that word alien. And we talk about that. It's in the news. You know, they're trying to get the illegal aliens to vote, right? An alien is someone that from a different place that comes over. I was an alien in Mexico when we'd go over to Mexico, and you'd sit there and they'd have a conversation. They'd be, and I had no idea what they're saying, because I was an alien in their land. I didn't know what they were saying. I couldn't communicate. So when you're alienated from God and from the life of God, you don't speak that same language. And so he can be saying, do this. And the more you more you hold on to your stubbornness, the more you don't hear. The more difficult. It's not that he's not talking. You just don't know what he's saying. Jessica, give me an order in Spanish. Just think of something off the wall for me to do. All right. No? I've been active, haven't I? I've been trying to figure out to do the right thing. What'd you say? Oh, I was kind of close. But I was trying to give her my phone, and all she wanted me was come close to her. I got colder the longer I kept trying to guess. Isn't that how we are? Isn't that how we get? Is that we're just trying to guess what God wants to do? And the first time we might be close, we're like this, and he's like, yeah, well, you know, I didn't want your phone, but huh? And then you're like, oh, I got to keep going. I keep going. And the more I tried, the further I got. Because I'm alienated from the life of God. And the only reason is because I'm not hearing. It's because of that stubborn heart. Hallelujah. Are you in Hebrews yet? Hebrews 3:15? He said, while it is said today, if you hear his voice, ooh, we got to be listening, don't we? If you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. And that's talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness. He kept saying, do this, and they kept arguing with him. Let's go back to Egypt. Let's do this. No, we're not going to do this. We're going to get mad. We're going to abuse the leaders. We're going to speak against the leaders. Again, that's huge. When you harden your heart, it's going to come out as complaining a lot. And that's exactly what it did in the Egypt. They hardened their hearts, and it came out as complaining. Beloved, don't harden your hearts. Don't do it. Don't do it. All right, I got to throw this part. I got to insert this part in. Now here we go. Let me use my illustration here. Okay. She said. Now if she would have said that in English, she would have said, "Come here," right? And I'm like, I've got to preach, honey. I got to do my own thing. And so I just, I stay over here. And she says, come here. And I'm like, honey, I'm busy. It's after church. I'm a pastor. I got to shake hands and kiss babies. I don't know why I'm holding my phone now. And she says, come here. And I'm like, but I gotta get the sermon downloaded onto my disk drive so I can edit it at home and get all the fancy names on there and all that kind of stuff. I can't come over there right now. And then all of a sudden she says, instead of come here, she says, what? Vasaki? And I'm like, what is she talking about now? And And then just give me another, just anything. Okay, I know what that means, but go to the bathroom, but because I'm fluent in Spanish. But again, now she's given me another order, and now I don't understand because I've been alienated from the life. Now, just give me another one. I know I'm trapping you here. No, it sounded like something with a hamburger, but I have no idea what she said. So what I'm doing is I'm becoming further from communicating with her. What do I do? Some of y'all going, that's how I feel, Pastor Thad. I feel like I'm further from communicating with God. Well, you know what you need to do. You need to stop everything you're else. I don't care how many babies you're kissing, and I don't care how much good you're doing, and I don't care how busy you are giving your phones to people, and I don't care how great all that kind of stuff is. You need to go to the point that you quit understanding Him and quit hearing His voice. You need to go back there and say, oh, He told me to come to Him. Here I am. Now I've just yielded myself at the point where I quit obeying, quit listening. And now communication. Go to the bathroom. Eat hamburgers. Seriously, it was hamburgers. Wow. Now the open communication can start because I went back to the place that I quit. Are you seeing this? Isn't this awesome? Hallelujah. There's sometimes I preach sermons, and I say sometimes, but there's sometimes, tonight's one of those, that I feel like I need to be in front of a church of about 25,000 people to hear this and understand this point. That's how important, and how I believe how clear God's wanting to make it to us. And I've got 7 minutes. Being stubborn is in essence pleasing yourself. Being pliable and yielded is about pleasing God. And our goal in the kingdom should always be about God first. When we're pliable, God can do things for us. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. Hallelujah. Just a couple more things I want to. I'm a teacher, so I'll try to move because there's one part I want to really get to. Hallelujah. Are you receiving this tonight? Hallelujah. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just simply saying, beloved, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're doing. But I could guess that there's at least a couple people in here. See, in an arena of 25,000 people, I could imagine there's hundreds, maybe thousands of people that would meet this criteria. In here, I'm guessing maybe a handful, maybe just a couple, maybe one. But every one of us has, and we'll see this in a second, every one of us have a continual choice to make, to make a stubborn heart, to shut off the things of God, or to say, no, Lord, I'm going to keep yielded. I'm going to stay yielded to your Spirit. And we've got to make the right decision. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Humble yourself. And again, that's being yielded. Yield yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you. See, there's a reward. If you'll learn to be yielded, He'll exalt you. You do things His way, He'll make you look good. That's a fascinating word too, because that word doesn't just mean that He'll go, good job. That word is to raise to the very summit of honor, dignity, splendor, opulence, and great wealth. If you're yielded to Him like a good sheep would, He's going to make people envy you. Go to James 4. Again, I could make this more. I just wanted to show you a couple of scriptures here to talk. We've seen the importance of this, but it's not just about obey him or he's going to thump you in the head. It's yield to him and watch your life change. And again, it may not change tomorrow. If you've been living in that, you're going to have, it's not a matter of earning anything. You're going to have to learn to get in that flow of yielding to him. Because the enemy wants to, what's the first thing the enemy does in order, when you get the word? He comes to try to steal it. So Pastor Elise has been stubborn, hearing the voice of God. And she finally makes a decision. Yes, tonight she says, yes, I'm going to start being yielded. If I find it in Scripture what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. I'm going to honor him. I'm going to yield myself to him. And she goes home and she's like, okay, Lord, I'm going to yield myself to him. I'm going to do whatever he tells me to do. He says, all right, I want you to do, he starts maybe talking to her or whatever. But the enemy's going to come and go, let me insert a little bit of, has anybody ever done that? You made a decision to finally start tithing or maybe start sowing some seed. And the next time you got money and you're ready to do it, some unexpected bill came in. Was it only me? It was just me? Some unexpected bill came in and you're like, I can't start now. The enemy came after the seed. And so you're going to have to walk some stuff out to let this thing, make sure it's deep inside of you. And let's read James chapter 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace. We know grace, God's ability in us to do what we couldn't do on our own. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, the stubborn, but he gives his ability to the yielded. Isn't that beautiful? You're going to walk in God's ability? Stay yielded to him. He wants you to hear his voice and he wants to lead you to life and good things, but you got to stay yielded to him. Go to Mark 4. Whew. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just a quick thought I want to insert here. Stay in Mark 4. But some people look at that group that became stubborn in Acts 19. And they're like, but they weren't even born again, Pastor Dan. They weren't even born again. So you can't equate that with churchgoers, Pastor Thad. No, what they were is that they were living under a truth. They served the same God we serve. Yahweh is Yahweh. They just served him under an antiquated pattern of operation, an old way of operating. That was no longer there. And Paul was trying to impart to them, here, let's do it this way. And so what they in essence were a religious crowd that had the pipe organs and had the committee that chooses the worship list and has the committee that chooses the decorations and has a committee that does this. That's what they were. They were a religious group that was operating out of form and formality. Instead of yielding to what God was saying to them. They were a group of people that the pastor received, here's what I want everybody to preach on this month. Here's your sermons, practice. Instead of hearing the voice of God and saying, listen, man, You guys may not like this sermon tonight on this. Some of y'all are okay with it because you're yielded, and this is good news for you. Some of you might be a little annoyed at Pastor Thad because he dare preach this thing. But I'm here to tell you this is what God told me to tell you. I don't have a choice. There's sometimes I wish I could just preach on the go lucky. What's that terminology? Whatever. Something go lucky. Happy go lucky. Just let's all go and have, let's, you know, I want you to leave with goosebumps and peach fuzz. I don't know what that means. But I got to obey God. And He's sitting here telling us, listen, I've got such amazing plans set for you. Not just you in regards to the church, but you in regards to you. I just need a willing vessel. I just need a yielded vessel. Beloved, you can get, I went to church. I went to church. Jesus loves me. I attended church. I went home. I'll go to church next week. But what about hearing His voice? What about walking in the rhythm and the rhythm of hearing His voice and step in step with Him? What about that? That's where you go from, I'm a churchgoer, to I am a light to this world. Mark chapter 4, verse 14. Let's wrap this thing up. It says the sower, verse 14. Notice what it says here. And I thought this was really interesting when the Holy Spirit showed me this. It said the sower soweth the word. So we know it's the word that that the enemy's coming after. Because in verse 15 it says, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they heard, Satan comes immediately, tries to go after the word, tries to steal the seed. So the first one there in verse 15 is just it's the ground that had been traveled. They didn't have asphalt back then, but they had ground that had been beaten down by horses and by carriages and by people walking. That's where they walked. It was the hard. And it got really hard over there. Very, very hard. And so as they were, nobody sowed on that ground on purpose. But in the process of throwing their seed out, some would go out there. And it was when that went out there, it was hard. They were like, nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent, right? No, it's not going to go in there. They've turned it off. Now, beloved, I hope nobody in this room is at that place. Maybe there's some things we are, and that's where we need to adjust our hearts. We've got to look at our hearts. But notice in verse 16, and this one got me, the first illustration he gives after the hard ground, he says, and these were they likewise which were sown on stony ground. Now I want you to understand this. What's the difference between stony ground and the wayside? And I know everybody's like, I don't know what the right word is. The stony ground, they've worked up. They've actually tried to break it apart. They said, I don't want to be a hard-hearted Christian. I don't want to be a hard-hearted person. I want to be someone that can receive the word. I want that more than anything. You come to a church that doesn't preach just the 20-minute sermons, but that preaches 45 minutes to an hour because I want to be that Christian. And you've broken up the hardness of it. So the second type of soil was simply, and I know some people could say, well, it was simply the hardness, the hard places broken up. And they're like, we're going to grow something here. And I think this is where most people live. I shouldn't say most people, a lot of Christians live. They hear the word, I want to receive the seed. I don't want to be that hard-hearted Christian. I want to receive the seed. There is probably nobody in this room that couldn't teach a message. I know you don't want to get up here to somebody about the prosperity message or about healing or about obedience or about love, because you're in here. You want the seed in you. So they immediately, because they wanted it, they broke it up so they could receive it. And they immediately receive it with gladness. But they still got hardness in there. You see this? They still got hardness in there. They've not totally annihilated it. And so they endure for a time, but afterwards, when affliction and persecution arises to take away the seed. So Pastor Lisa says, I'm going to tithe. I'm going to obey God's word because I want that blessing. I love what Pastor Thad says about the tithe. I love the covenant connection of the tithe. It's amazing. I love it. And she's worked really hard because she used to be that wayside. She used to say, I ain't going to tithe. That's my money. I got bills to pay. I got two boys to feed. And I ain't going to tithe. I got that, and she was that wayside. But now she's broken it up because I want to live under the blessings of God. And so she goes the first week maybe, and she's just walking on sunshine. Hey! She's excited. And then bills come in. Then their January utility bill comes in. And they're like, ooh, I just gave that to the church. Affliction and persecution just came. And though she's broken up the wayside, she still has some rocks in there. And those little rocks go, no, I can't do it this next time. I got to save this next paycheck because we got to pay that utility bill. Do you see this picture I'm showing you? It's not because she didn't want to receive the word. It's just because she didn't get rid of all the hardness, all the hard places. And the thing that will reveal the hard places is affliction and persecution. I got to wrap this thing up. This is like so on me. Now I want to throw this out here. Didn't think I had that much left to go. I'll have to stop. I'll maybe just hit the points and maybe talk about more. Anybody that's ever done a garden or had a yard knows that next spring when you go out there to mow the first time, you could have had your yard pristine, you could have had your garden plowed and all that kind of stuff, and without anybody else out externally bringing in any stones, you go out there. And there's little rocks in your garden. They've been there for a long time. They've been really down deep. And they just worked their way to the top. And we got to be faithful. I don't want anything hard in my heart. I want to be that fertile soil that receives the word and does yielded to the Holy Spirit. And we go there, we go rock picking. My mom would say that was her main job as a little girl. She had to go out to the farm, go out to the fields, and just walk it and just pick up rocks. Get rid of the rocks, because you couldn't have rocks. They'd steal the harvest. Don't ever let anything hard get in your hearts. Someone done something bad to you, something mean to you, join the club. Don't let it become a hard place in you. You're going through a financial stress point. Don't let it become a hard spot. Get it out of there. Deal with it right away so you can walk in His blessings. Hallelujah. Let me just give you this. I'm going to do this because I'm not going to fully teach. I'm just going to give you these points. If I feel like I need to go in deeper, I will next week. How do we make our hearts pliable? How do we take care of that? First thing I'll tell you, and I'm just going to give you the 2 points, is first of all, get together, get alone with God. I could put in there, pray, talk to Him, read, hear, listen, praise, sing. I could put anything in there you wanted to put, but just get you and God by yourself. Think, if a stranger comes up to you on the street and says, hey, would you mow my lawn? What? But if you've got a relationship with someone and says, hey, would you mow my lawn? You would do whatever you could to yield. Too many Christians have stubborn hearts because the God who's speaking to them is at the level of a stranger, not an intimate partner. Get together with Him. Number 2, find healing. The point in time where your heart was hurt. And again, it's that point of the bill, the whatever, where you decided, I can't do it anymore. I can't go beyond this. Find that place and find healing for it. Has God been talking to you about asking for forgiving somebody? There's some people that I've had. It makes me mad that I've had to work that hard just to forgive them. But I read a word from the scriptures the other day, about a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago. And the outcome for that person, because of what they've done, the Bible says death. And like to their seed, their family, their lineage. And if I would have been in unforgiveness, I would have said, yeah, buddy, you in trouble. When I read that, my heart just went, no. I can't explain it any other way. No. I said, Lord, I don't want that. That's not what I want. I don't want that. I love these people. I don't have any other words to say. I love them. That's why it hurts me so much. I love them. There are people around me that have been like, you know, start kicking butt, start going, taking names, start doing this. And I'm like, no, I believe that there's going to be a change. I believe there's going to be something that's going to happen. I believe it in a heart of hearts. I believe it. I hope I'm the one that's right on that. But if there's a place of unforgiveness that you find yourself stuck at, go back there and take care of it. In the same way that I had to stop just trying to stay busy and say, no, I need to go back to the last time that I know I heard the voice clearly. When He said, forgive them. When He said, sow a seed. Well, Pastor, that seed was too big. And that's the time where you started not understanding, alienating yourself. go back to that point of obedience, of witnessing, of sharing God with a friend, of laying hands on somebody and praying for them. Go back to that point and let Him heal you so that you can move on in your destiny. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. I want to say, I hope you received that, but I know you received that because that was like fire coming out of me. I don't know. I if it was in my mentality, I would say there's a good percentage of us here who, okay, let me put this. I believe there's 100% of us here who want the Word, who want it in us, and you want to produce what the Word says you could produce. I believe there's several of us here I don't know how many. I'm not using numbers. I think there's two. No, I believe there's several of us here who are operating and living day by day, hearing and obeying, not trying your best, obeying. And you have a clean heart, you have a soft heart, you have a pliable heart, you have. And I believe there's several. Again, I'm not saying a number, because that number could be all of you. I believe that there's several of us here who are at a place where you're frustrated. Because you don't want to be stubborn towards the voice of God. It's just that you don't really hear it very clear. When I said stubborn tonight, I think it almost disassociated from some of you because you're like, I'm not stubborn. I want to obey Him. But there's been almost an alienation, almost a separation where you're not hearing His voice very well. It's because of one point. And beloved, this evening, we just need to ask God, say, God, show me that point. Because I want to hear your voice so clearly. Because I want to walk step in step with you. And I know there's going to be some decisions I have to make. I know there's going to have to be some times where I'm going to have to put my big girl pants on and big boy pants on and go through and do something that's going to cost me something. But where I'm going is worth the price. So Father, reveal it to me. Show it to our hearts tonight, Father, that place that we need to go back to so that we can get moving again in step with you in the rhythm of obedience. Because where we're going is worth the price. In Jesus' name.